My wife hates it. My children hate it. I hate it sometimes because if you say something and you're talking and I hear you, all of a sudden a song will come into my head and I start singing a verse of the song. Okay, now back on January 8th, I started a series of messages here. And I was going to preach this on rewards. And then I've been gone. So I got to bring you back up to speed. And again, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, and the title of this is Rewards, and I will try to do it quickly. And if I can't finish this tonight, that means next Wednesday night to finish it. But Hebrews 11, 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Please who? God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And many times lost people, they're trying to seek God, but they want to seek God the way they want him to be. And people struggle with that. And so many times Christians, they get saved, they can trust God with their eternal soul, and they trust him for salvation. But then when it comes to seeking God about what's going on in their life, sometimes they do it almost like the lost person. And they seek God the way they what? Want him. And it doesn't say he rewarder of them that diligently seek him the way they want him. It's seeking him. One of the hardest things, and I want you to know, it's harder most of the time, sometimes for men, but it's harder for women because they want to relate. They want to be accepted. So they have a hard time being vulnerable enough to be real on who they really are. And they don't want to say something sometimes because they're afraid that it's going to affect the relationship. But God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I want you to know, don't trust in your emotions. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't trust your eyes all the time. Because, you know, they say a picture's worth a thousand words, and it all it depends. I have a son, award-winning investigative reporter. You know what he can tell you? The way you take the picture can cause you to shade what you think is happening. All right? So, you know, the old saying, seeing is believing. With God, not seeing is believing when it's through the eyes of faith. And so we looked at the, you know, the title is Rewards, and the rewarder is God. I'm going to go over quickly, and we won't read it. But in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, you see that God is the one who rewards, and it's based on his greatness. I'm reading a book right now. Yes, I still read. Okay. I drool on myself sometimes, but I still read. Okay. So, but it's a case of this in reading, and it's talking about having a true understanding of God's omnipotence in relationship to you. Because some people, they hear that God is an omnipotent God. And they think it's like the Wizard of Oz, and he's the mighty Oz behind the screen, and the fire and the smoke comes out, and you're afraid to approach him. But that's not how my omnipotent God is. He's all-powerful, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." My omnipotent God says, "I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving arms I have drawn thee." And so I'm looking, reading this book, and it's giving me a different view, because so many times with what's going on with my wife, I can't take it from her. I can't fix it for her. I can't. But my God can. So what I need to learn to do is by faith, trust what he tells me to do. Do it his way. And the results are his. "For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, not my pleasure, They are and were created. He is the rewarder, and it's based off His greatness. It's one of those things that if you dwell on His greatness in the wrong way, you don't think you can approach unto Him. And God condescends to you. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come, how? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. You know when you need mercy? When you mess up. And it tells you to do what? Because He's omnipotent, then that means He's omnipotent also in His love. There is no bounds to it. There's no restriction of it. There's no, it's not an enclosed thing. Some people think, well, if I love this person, I can't love someone else. And they think they only have so much love to give. And love is a choice. It's not an emotion. And the more you give it, the more you have. And God is love. You can't hit the bounds of His love. It's an omnipotent love. Now, does that give you a different picture of what it means, God's greatness? It does for me as I look at this. Because I can't, but He can. Am I going to do it His way? I mentioned it Sunday morning. I've said it to a few people. Judy made me promise when we went down to Philadelphia. She said, if I got to go in that stinking hospital and lose my eye for God to get glory, you're going to hand out tracts. 45 of them in 3 days. And since then, I've made sure every day since to give at least one out. And people don't, you know, they'll talk to me about a lot of things. But when I talk to somebody about the Lord, they get nervous. I don't know why it is. I don't know if I get too intense. I wish I had James's smile. Yeah. What? But it's one of those things, turn around, and I'm giving out tracts. And I told people, my son's walking with me, and AJ's faith is very strong. It's like, if God says it, got to do it that way. He's very matter of fact. He's not is he a great soul winner? No. Does he witness? Yes. But he just said, Judy says, you guys need to get out of the hotel room. You need to go walk. And she says, and she looks at me, and she goes, and you can give out tracts. Yes, sir. So I'm going to give out tracts, and we're walking these couple city blocks, and we're in a hotel down the middle of Philadelphia. It's 4 blocks from the hospital. We walked over for her surgery. Of course, we didn't walk back. They brought us back with a lift or whatever, but we walked over, and we're walking. I didn't realize I'm downtown central Philadelphia, and AJ are walking. I'm not really afraid about walking any place. Okay, some people, and I'm not, but I'm handing out tracts. And I looked at AJ, and I says, you know, I'm doing a little bit of a study here, and you know what? It's much easier to hand out tracts to Hispanics than it is to white people. It's easier to hand out tracts to Asians than it is to white people. And he says, and black people take tracts all the time. And he goes, yeah, Dad. They don't think too highly of themselves. And I'm handing these tracks out. We stopped this one place, and this guy looked rough, man. He's outside this building, and he's leaning next to a telephone pole, and he's talking on his phone. And I said, sir, can I please give this to you? And the track I like handing out the best. You know, Howard has a favorite one. I like God's free gift of salvation. I give it out at Christmas all year long. She's a little present on the front, you know, in the plan of salvation. I give that track out. I get to talk to people. I got to talk to nurses because Judy said you're giving them to the nurses. Okay, so I'm doing this, and I stand out, and I hand this guy a tract, and he goes, yeah, I'll take it, but I love abortion. What does that have to do with the price of eggs? And we're walking away, and I said to AJ, did you hear what he said to me? And he goes, Dad, you're so unaware of where you are. You're handing out tracts in front of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic in Philadelphia. Across the street was the ACLU. It's perfect. But the guy took the track. I don't know what God's going to do with that. I remember this, his dad telling me the story of a man plowing fields, and he was Scottish. Because I got to hear him read the Bible when his dad was the pastor at that church. Parish? Class, Colossus Baptist Church. Guy showed up to church. He's a farmer. You know how he got a track? It was given to somebody and thrown out the window of their car. It blew in the middle of the field, and he was plowing the field, saw something, didn't know what it was, stepped down, picked it up, smote his heart, accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and became a member for years and years and years at Colossus Baptist Church. You know what that's based off of? Not you and me. It's based off His greatness. Why? Do you realize when I pray, I'm trying to glorify God. It's God, you are the creator God. You are the sustainer God. You are the deliverer God. You are the redeemer God. You're the most high God of heaven and earth. Nothing's too hard for you. So when I come before you, please let your will be this. But if not, get glory. You understand that? His greatness. Rewards are normally given or established by the dignity to the position of the rewarder. Do you understand that? The greater the person who gives the rewards, the higher the honor it appears to be. 5 crowns, people. Greater rewards. He made all things. He inhabits eternity. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. When God speaks, it's done. Okay, so I can't help it. I'm re-preaching the first point. You can find it back on January 8th. It's going to sound a little different, but here we go. All right, he just did. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Not only is God great, it's based on his goodness. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. It's based on his greatness. It's based on his goodness. It's based on his faithfulness. Do you realize, we won't read it tonight for the sake of time, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, when it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God, but made himself with no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself to the obedience of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God the Father kept his word to his Son, Jesus Christ. We'll do this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And you got to tell, I haven't preached in a while, because when preachers don't get to preach for a while, it's very hard to do things quickly, isn't it, James? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. What does it tell us there in our Bible? For by him was all things created, and by him all things consist. By whom are all things, bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. God was faithful with his Son, and he will be faithful to his sons. He's a faithful God. That's what the rewards are based on. Who are the rewarded? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. You know what? Who are the rewarded? Those who seek him earnestly. Right? He is rewarder of them that what? Diligently, effort, looking to, looking for, diligently seek him. The key is you seek him, not the rewards. You know what people do all the time? Because they don't understand who God is. They try to bargain with him. If I do this and I do that, and I am not as other people because I fast often, I give tithes of all I have, I fast often, I pray 3 times a day. I'm not as other people. I'm a good Christian, Lord. You need to answer my prayers. No. It's not based on you. It's based on him. You got to seek him. Are you seeking him? Not only is it those who seek him earnestly, it's those who build upon that foundation carefully. Is it wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones? You know what wood, hay, stubble is? That's you in your flesh. That's in the temporary. Gold, silver, precious stones, guess what? One day you're going to walk on them stuff and they use it to build walls and windows. Streets of gold, man? That doesn't mean anything to him. You build carefully. The third thing is those who sow righteously. Now, when I gave out those tracts, I wanted God to bless those tracts, but I wanted my wife to know she asked something of me and I was going to do it. I couldn't do other things. I could do that. And she wanted God to get glory. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we sing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. What are they? What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at his appearing? That's what that's speaking about. You're sowing righteousness because you're sowing God's word and he can work. Proverbs 11 and verse 8. Let me see, where am I? Does I got the right one? Proverbs 11, 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Soweth righteousness. You know what that means? Whatsoever man sows, so shall he also reap. If he sows unto his flesh, of his flesh he shall reap what? Temporary, because if it's you're saved, you can still sow to the flesh, corruption, temporal corruption. But he soweth unto righteousness, right? That's unto life everlasting. That's a reward you don't lose. So they sow righteously. Then it's those who walk humbly. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and by the fear of the Lord are riches in honor and life. Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, given a name which is above every name. Jesus, our example. 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? He may exalt you in due time. Why? Casting all your cares upon your ability. No. Casting all your cares upon him, because in his omnipotence, he careth for you. Amen? And those who, two last points here. I can't count right, okay? This is those who suffer godly. When you go through it and you take it and it's not true, and someone tries to harm you, hurt you, speak wrongly of you, and you take that for God, our Savior took it for us. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. You should have somebody right now in your heart that you're praying, you're praying for their salvation and trying to reach them. If you don't, shame on you. I say that in Christian love. You got friends that don't know Christ? Do they know you know Christ? Do you got family members that don't know Christ? Do they know you know Christ? Do you got coworkers who don't know Christ? Do they know you know Christ? Do you have kids you play with that don't know Christ? Do they know you know Christ? Do they see Christ in you? Suffer for it. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall. Now, Brother Javier, he's going in the electrical field. Guess what? You know what's going to happen? They're going to hand them the National Electrical Code. You know what I was told that was? The Bible of for electricians. When it says you shall, you don't have a choice. When you live godly, you aren't going to have a choice. You're going to suffer for it. It has nothing to do with you doing something wrong. Sometimes it's so that people can see you go through it and Jesus gets glory out of it. It can be loss of love, loss of loved ones, loss of heart, loss of health, loss of work, loss of home. I was reading today that you know that plane that crashed? One poor pilot, she flew 100 feet higher than she was supposed to in a helicopter. She was 100 feet off. She's in eternity. I was reading the story. On the plane and even in the helicopter, there were born-again believers. People are going to hear the gospel at their memorial services. Understand that? Because he's an omnipotent God. You will suffer. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11, 12. Well, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is primarily because it's in the Beatitudes. It's primarily for the Jews. I want you to know that. If you don't understand that, please ask Pastor Kenny. He'll explain it to you very clearly. Okay? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I know I'm going fast. I want to do this and finish this up. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's like we get our breath taken away. I don't know why that happened. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with. See the change in that attitude? Do you see that? The Apostle Paul had to learn. Guess what Apostle Paul had a problem with? His eyes. And he said, for the abundance of the revelations given to me, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, for which I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. You know what God said to him? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I rather glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am. Man, that's high cotton. That's mountaintop Christianity. You know, when I say that, because that's not how we think most of the time, is it? But we can get to the place that we can give God glory in that, man, then we're fulfilling what he gave us life for. But rejoice in as much ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth on you, upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You hear that, Christians? If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, knowing ye yourselves likewise also can be what? Tempted. Okay. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, and sometimes it's God's will, when you've done nothing wrong, to go through it. Suffer according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. They commit and they do what? The right things. As unto a faithful Creator. See, those who suffer godly. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Our last point and we're done. It's always hard for me to balance this. In my flesh you come at me, I go at you. Okay, I just do. I'm very competitive, I go at you. Donnie O'Brien's shamed me. He's going, preacher, you know that weight you're supposed to reach? I'm within 4 pounds of it. Where are you? Okay? So I'm turning around with this and okay. All right. So I started exercising again because when I exercise, I don't eat as much most of the time. Except when I'm going through it or my wife's going through it, then I nervous eat. Okay? Yeah. I put my shoes on 1 foot at a time. How do you do it? Do you jump up and land in them or something? I don't know. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, Donnie's not, he's not competing with me to shame me. You know what he said to me? I want you around. So I'll do what's needed to get you to do that. Okay. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Last passage, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Apostle Paul. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have what? Fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hey, preachers, 3-point outline. Hit them with that and then see how God blesses. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that what? Love his appearing. All God's people said, amen. Good night and God bless.